This is GamesAtWork.biz, your weekly podcast about gaming, technology, and play. Your hosts are Michael Martin, Andy Piper, and Michael Rowe. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and are not the opinions of any organization which they have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 356, Metamojis. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you listen to this podcast. I am Michael Rowe here on another episode of GamesAtWork.biz with my friend and co-host, Andy Piper. Andy, how the heck are you?
I am well, thank you, Michael. It's nice to be back, as we usually are. I'm doing well. I've had a really good week. So, feeling positive, looking forward to the weekend, and talking tech and games with my buddy.
All right. Well, I'm excited too. It has been an interesting week. We were not impacted by the latest snowmageddon on the East Coast.
I saw I think they've had it in you've had it in various places in the US. I know my friends in the Colorado region have also had a heavy load delivered, and I think as you say, the sort of the Northeast has had a heavy amount.
Seeing last night on the news, they were showing kind of from Austin to Maine.
Wow.
This huge diagonal.
That is
of
very
snow.
Significant amount.
Yes. And we've had some rain, and matter of fact, we've had unseasonably warm weather.
Well, they keep
like
threatening
70 today.
They keep the weather forecasters keep threatening us with some snow, but I doubt it will happen. So we'll see.
Well,
it just got to the point here where the sun set, I think, after 5 p.m. So we're looking forward to some slightly lighter evenings going into the spring, which is going to be nice.
Yeah, I think we're closer to, 6 or 6:30 now for the sunset. But, you know who could use some snow?
No, tell me.
I would say people inside of 7-Elevens. No, that was a horrible, horrible transition. But sometimes you got to have fun with those. We saw a really interesting link this week from Gizmodo about 7-Elevens in Japan, I guess, testing out touch-free floating holographic self-checkouts.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The video does not do a good job of showing the three-dimensional aspect. It literally looks like a touchscreen.
Well, it does. I mean, it looks like a sort of angled screen underneath a flat screen of a sheet of glass. It's disappointing, but I kind of understand, I think, what the experience might be. I was going to ask you, though, have you been into any of the Amazon cashless stores?
No, I have not. I don't know if there's one near me.
We've got some opening around London now, and I have we have had one experience. Well, there's a couple of categories, as you may know, of Amazon store, physical store, at least here in Europe or in the UK. So they've got two concepts at the moment. One is the Amazon 4-star, I think, which you've also got in the US and maybe in other countries as well, which is essentially a big store which just sells products rated 4 stars or more. And you can walk in and you can pick them up off the shelf. But they're more of a showroom. There's a couple of them around. I've been into one of those. It was quite busy, and it was quite uncomfortable because it was busy just before Christmas.
I bet.
just discomforting to be in a busy space again after the pandemic or through this period. It wasn't
with other people standing shoulder to shoulder.
Exactly. It didn't stand out to me as an experience. The other one is the Amazon grocery stores, which are walk-in, walk-out. You bring up the Amazon app on your phone, you get a QR code, you scan in. Now, there's a couple of interesting points. Obviously, we already know that it does it all via, watching you via cameras. I don't think that's a secret. But what if you go in as a group or with your partner?
Charge?
Right, exactly. Some interesting things. So the way that this works is that you scan your group in on the same code. So in my case, I used the QR code to scan my partner in, and then I followed scanning again. But it's the same code. And then doesn't matter which of you leaves the store, but when you leave the store, and also doesn't matter when, well, it does matter. If you put things back on the shelf, it knows that you've put things back on the shelf. And you could leave separately, but it would still only charge the last person, charge at the point the last person left.
So you need to get out first, is what you're saying.
Well, no, because I've already scanned in, so it's already on my Amazon account. It was quite clever.
Oh, darn it. It figured out what you picked up, what your partner picked up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't show which of us had. I mean, it was all on the same. This is the thing. It was all on the same ticket at the end, right?
And so at the end, you get a little Venmo pop-up, and it says divide the bill?
No. No, we left the store.
Just the last person pays.
We left the store with our groceries in the bag, without having had to pay or check out or visibly pay. Got on the bus, continued on our journey home, and then about 15 minutes later, I got my pop-up from the Amazon app telling me that we'd been charged, you know, this amount of money for the items. So, I mean, it was quite effective. It was much more like a 7-Eleven store, though. You know, it's a limited range of groceries and products. It's not, a superstore, like, or, you know, the ability to get anything.
Yeah.
They do have, obviously, an Amazon Collect pickup counter. So if we'd pre-ordered and had something delivered to the store, we could have gone in and picked up something exotic that we'd had chosen from Amazon's massive online selection. But, I don't know. I think this clearly, this sort of cashless experience, and we're already doing a lot, you know, using contactless payments, that's a thing. We already know that. That's become even more popular with the situation in the last couple of years. Whether you need to have this kind of additional holographic display versus the Amazon type experience, do you feel better, more comfortable not having been observed? I mean, sure, you are observed by cameras when you're in these stores anyway. Of course you are. Any retail experience has that. But,
I was about to say, at any retail, not just these stores.
And in fact, not just at retail, of course. So, you know, I was kind of not too weirded out. And also the cameras in the Amazon store were not, you know, in your face. You didn't really notice them unless you were really looking for them.
But if they were in your face, you would actually be able to, you know, browse for those things that you wanted to pre-order and have shipped to the store using Firefox, right?
Using a virtual reality experience, for example. Indeed. Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, you can't do it with Firefox, because Firefox is apparently this week announced that they're going to retire their virtual reality browser, which is an interesting story, I think.
Yeah, this is. I was going to say, you have a VR rig at home, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what your experience was. Had you played with the Firefox?
I have, absolutely.
In VR,
and I have Firefox and Reality on my Quest. I need to remember to call it the Quest rather than the Oculus or the Meta, just the Quest, because that describes what it is. Well, the Quest 2. Yes, I have got a Firefox Reality browser installed on that. It's good. I mean, the other thing that Mozilla's done a lot of work on is WebXR, which is essentially the combination of WebVR and WebAR. They've built a ton of standards around those formats in partnership with companies like Facebook and others. And so it is a good way. You can build apps using those technologies and use them in Firefox Reality on that device or on any other device. Now, if, as I thought when I saw the headline, that alternative browser was not available on the Quest, you would be stuck with the Quest's browser and having to log in with your account from that company and, you know, so on. So
is it that company is making it harder for third parties to put that company integrated tools on the Quest?
I don't know whether that's true. I mean, it's not clear. It looks like they're spinning it off or handing it off to a different organization, or there's a company that's picked up the source code and are going to launch a comparable browser and continue to do it, but to continue to keep it up. It is interesting. It is cross-platform. Firefox has always been big on open standards and freedom of choice. And it's a position I strongly respect. I think it's great. You know, the story here points out that it's also available on the HoloLens, on the HTC platform, and others. So it is pretty cool. It also means that you don't have to go through the App Store on the Quest, which is, you know, which is both controlled and curated by Meta. So, you know, you, it's like in the Apple App Store, you know, you can only get things that they've blessed and they've approved. You can't sideload stuff, not easily anyway, that I know I'm aware of. I haven't tried. So I think it is a valuable thing to have available. If I wanted to prototype something on my Raspberry Pi on my home network and point Firefox Reality at it, I could do that. It wouldn't be so easy to do.
What's interesting to me is, you know, there's a story that I heard yesterday about Microsoft canceling the HoloLens 3. I think back to right as Apple announced the iPhone, right? There was this undercurrent of other phone lines changing, right? Because I had been a big Palm Trio user, and Trio had just effectively given up their own operating system on the Palm and switched over to Windows, right? And you had the changes that were going on with BlackBerry at the time. Nokia was going through some transitional phases, and we're starting to see with, you know, the rumor that Apple might be releasing at least a developer kit AR headset or VR headset this year. There are these other stories going on around the ecosystem of AR and VR devices. So I'm wondering if we're starting to see that early transition to a much more commercially consumer-friendly driven environment coming up with its appropriate lock-ins, right? Meta locking you into their platform, right? Apple, if they do something, will, I'm sure, tie you into the App Store. It's interesting. It's tea leaf reading, which we talk about on this show. I don't think we prognosticate as people predicting things, but it'll be interesting to see, I think, over the next 18 months how this market changes and plays out, because the technology, I believe, is starting to get mature enough to where we won't have a lot of inventions. We're going to have maturation of products to make them usable, right? I mean, I still have my Google Glass hanging on a door.
I knew that was going to come up. That was your greatest ever tech purchase, if I remember rightly.
No, it was the biggest waste.
Well, look.
But speaking of...
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that, you know, the most exciting part of all of the Microsoft news this week is, of course, that they may not be working on the HoloLens 3, and they may be shifting their focus to software and Microsoft Mesh and the other stuff that they've been working on. But, Michael, I've got exciting news.
Yes.
Exciting news fresh from the internet since our last show.
Oh, I can't wait.
It is that Microsoft are still working... Yes, they are still working on 3D emoji.
Yes. Well, you got to have them if you're going to float in front of your face. You don't want, it's not like Flatland.
Exactly.
You know, I was looking at these and they look kind of like Play-Doh or claymation.
Yeah, come on, that sweet corn emoji is beautiful.
Yeah, that's not the term I was thinking.
It's so cute.
I like the thunderstorm. I like the thunderstorm.
I don't know. That you're right. It's got a kind of almost got a plasticine Play-Doh type quality to the imagery they're going for. It's kind of fun. I like it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cool, fun, play type things, you know, Lego.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk Lego. I'm always happy to talk.
Children's hospitals.
Excellent. I'm
children's
glad to hear
hospitals.
It. Yes.
As it relates to getting kids to understand MRI scanners. And I've been through multiple MRI scans in my life. Have you been through an MRI scan?
Actually, no. It's one thing I haven't done before.
I tolerate them fine. Mm-hmm. I know others who really kind of freak out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you are in a very tight, enclosed space.
Yes, yes.
With lots of crazy sounds and noises around you. I thought this was kind of cool. This is a really cool Lego piece or set for kids to kind of understand the process.
So they're going to be sending these custom kits to the children's hospitals to, you know, so that they can, you know, have them built up and use them to demonstrate to the children what the machine is, what it looks like, what's going to happen. It's not for sale. And it's part of their, a program I wasn't familiar with, which is their local community engagement program. I think this is lovely. I think it is really, really nice that they're doing this. And I think it's a really nice way of giving the youngsters something that they're familiar with, Lego. I'm sure most kids are familiar at least with, you know, the concept of Lego bricks and being able to see how it builds up and hopefully ease their anxiety. I think it's lovely. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
And on the same page, of course,
everything
you scroll down.
Awesome.
As you scroll down the Nerdist page, you of course get a range of other exciting Lego headlines, including the new Star Wars helmets, which I'm excited by as well. The Thor's hammer Lego set as well.
I think that's cool.
Which is very cool. So
I do one really cool thing about the MRI scanner. I don't know if you've noticed, if you zoom in on the scanner itself, there's a piece that opens and closes.
Oh, right.
I don't know what you call those pieces. You see that right midway through the scanner, implying that it would open up and let you see kind of the construction inside of what the scanner has with the magnets whirling around, etc.
Hmm. I hadn't spotted that. That's very cool if that's how it works. Yeah, there's not enough
information. Yeah, because you can see the ridge halfway through the machine.
I wonder if I'm clicking through as we speak to the tweet thread to see if he shows any. Yes. Yes, you're quite right. There is
Does
a picture here of it being opened up. Yes, if you follow the tweet thread, there is a picture of it unfolding. I never get the transverse and right wording correct, but it opens up book style between the two ends of the machine. It looks really fun. Yeah, so that would give more access to be able to explain to the kids what's happening and how it works. There's some really, if you follow the look through in the tweet thread, there's some follow-up pictures of the assembly once it's been done, which is great.
And how would they find the tweet thread? Would they click through to gamesatwork.biz this episode?
That's correct.
And look at our show notes and click through.
Follow the link to the Nerdist article that will be that will go along with this story, and then as you scroll down in that Nerdist article, there is a nice prominent tweet with an image. If you click through to that, it'll take you to twitter.com, and you can see the thread, which is great. Yeah, there's a number of pictures. The story's only picked up the top one. The top tweet in the thread, the sort of head of it, but he shows it once it's assembled and gives you various shots of what the set looks like, which is great.
Well, this is really exciting, and you know what else gets me really exciting?
Excited. I know what gets you excited, Michael, because that's why I sent you.
World of Warcraft is supposedly going to have a mobile game.
I was thinking of something else you get excited by that I also shared with you this week. But
we'll
yes.
get to that. But this is really cool. There have been rumors for some time now that Blizzard was going to try to come out with a mobile app for World of Warcraft or some kind of mobile companion, and they've had a mobile app for managing certain quests and
right.
you know, communicating with your guild and all that stuff, and they've obviously had other mobile apps, right? Like Hearth. What is it called?
Hearthstone.
Hearth or something like
Hearthstone.
That?
Hearthstone. It's the card game, isn't it?
Hearthstone.
It's like
the card game, yes.
Magic, the Gathering, but for World of Warcraft,
yep.
right?
And I'm pretty average at that game, if not below.
okay.
But I would really like it if they would come out with some kind of extension of World of Warcraft proper on mobile, so you can bring it with you when you just need to, you know, grind out that next level.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. I mean, we've talked about World of Warcraft extensively, and I'm not a player, but isn't it one of those games with a very complicated, potentially very complicated and crowded UI, depending on what you're doing and what resources you're managing? And in fact, very similar to the what Michael and I talked about last week about the multiple hubs and things.
It has the ability for you to add all kinds of add-ons and really make it complicated.
Right, okay.
But the basic UI is actually very simple.
So right? You can see yourself
your sitting WASD.
Right, okay.
You got your arrow keys, and you have 1 through 0 on the number pad.
For selecting the weapon.
That's all you really need.
And then enter for hitting
somebody. Selecting a weapon or a spell that you're casting or some other thing, right? So they could make it pretty simple. Now, players add all kinds of add-ons that do things like bag management, quest management, whatever, right? That can really make, you know, HUD upon top of HUD on top of HUD to really make it confusing and way complex, especially if you're doing end game questing or instances. But I can see them making a simplified experience for some of the early stuff or for some of the quest lines that you run.
That would be
an exciting thing.
I mean, you can see yourself sitting on a park bench with your iPhone, trying to join in a raid with your guild, can you? Because it doesn't seem to be the kind of... Right. That doesn't seem to me the kind of experience or the kind of setting that the game is going for. But I'm not... You know, I'm curious to see what they come out with. Because obviously there are companion mobile apps for games like Battlefield and Assassin's Creed and others, but they are much more around...
Exactly.
...viewing the map, managing resources. They're companion apps, right? Rather than... full game, in-game experiences.
And what's interesting to me is the reason you do this, i.e. add additional features and more games around a centralized game that's been, let's face it, it's been pretty long in the tooth, right? I mean, it's been, 15 years or more that World of Warcraft has been in the market, is probably the same reason that Sony acquired Bungie this week, is keeping that long tail of revenue going. It's like any SaaS service. If you get bored and it's no longer exciting to you, you will stop paying that $15 a month or whatever you're paying for your game.
It made me smile a little bit because Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard. Sony acquired Bungie, but Bungie, of course, was the studio that created Halo, which is now Microsoft's
massive
game from 343. I did smile when I read that. We already speculated that this kind of consolidation would continue to happen. I wonder where it all ends to some extent, and whether it's all about big acquisitions, or whether there's going to be I'm sure there will continue to be small, you know, around the edges things that enable the companies to consolidate their positions. But it's not all about the big studios, Michael, because even those studios retire their games, don't they? They put them to sleep, even when they have millions of fans
send them to
around
a farm
the world.
Upstate.
That's right, or they send them to a moisture farm, perhaps, you know.
Yes, and somebody, I won't mention his name, Andy, was kind enough to let me know that Restoration 3 was available. And
what is Restoration 3?
Doing quite well.
What is Restoration 3?
Funny you should ask. So for longtime listeners of this podcast may remember that one of the initial thoughts that got this whole thing going was something that I used to call Dancing with Wookiees. which was really all about Star Wars Galaxy, the original, in my experience, MMO. right? I know there were other MMOs before Star Wars Galaxy, yes. But the thing that I always found amazing by that game was that you would get buffs by going to the cantina, and there were players whose skills were entertainer. And they would dance, and you would watch them, and you would buff, right? And so...
I'm glad that our listeners understand the word buff in the context of MMORPG and not in any other kind of context.
Yes. And I remember explaining to Michael Martin early on this whole concept and saying, you know, it'd be really great if you could take that same addictive, engaging experience and use it at work and maybe level up your Java programming skills or whatever, right?
By dancing with Wookiees.
Give it a virtual world, right, by dancing with Wookiees, right? Because you would get that buff, right? You would get extra skill points or extra capability by learning something and taking it into another part of the game.
I've got it.
And so...
I've got it.
Yes.
So you want to level up your Java skills. You put on your Quest headset. No. You get some little yes. virtual Duke, you know, the Java Duke little character,
yeah.
animated like Duke character,
yeah.
And you have a dance in Oculus a Quest with your little Java,
off.
Yeah, with your little Java mascot, and you get your buff,
and then you understand, you know, the class structure of a Java class,
exactly,
and what the methods might do,
right. I think we've solved the problems here.
Once you pointed this out to me, I immediately downloaded it onto my Windows machine because it wasn't available for Mac, and got it working. And
did you get it working straight away, Michael?
No, because you had to run it in administrator mode.
Oh, right.
Which I probably would have found somewhere, but I figured it out. And it reminded me so much why I liked this game more than World of Warcraft.
So just... putting the nostalgia to one side for a second, just let's go back over this story. So Star Wars Galaxies, MMORPG, one of your favourite games of all time, which I totally understand. I'm a big Star Wars fan myself. Got one thing I'd like to quickly hit on before we finish up, if we've got time, on that topic. But it got shut down, right?
Yes, it did.
And so what is this exactly? Talk us through what this is, because
so
this, not everybody
so, so Restoration is a community rebuild to emulate the servers and actually allow you to experience the original game.
Wow. Okay. And how big is the community? Is it interesting as playing the original,
I was amazed at how many people were in there.
And is it?
I was amazed at how many people were in there.
Have they upped the graphics quality since it's, you know, 5 years on or whatever?
Oh gosh, it's 10 years on since it died.
Is it really?
Or more?
Wow.
Yeah. It died and then was replaced by Star Wars: Old Republic.
Oh, of course it did. Yes.
Swatter.
Yes.
Knights of the Old.
Is it? S-W-O-T-R. I mean, does it look any better? Is it exactly the same experience? Is there?
The thing that I experience, and just because this was, you know, I've played maybe an hour of it now, is I could increase the graphic.
Mm-hmm.
I can increase the graphics, but I couldn't decrease the size of the UI elements.
Right.
And so while I could zoom out and get more of the landscape and I'd, you know, add some particles and increase shadows and all this other stuff to make it look really nice, I still had these giant overlays of the menu system and the HUD and other things that just were in my way. Because I was running this on a 4K 27-inch monitor, and when I played it before, it was still on a 4:3 aspect ratio.
Wow,
monitor.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And it had, I think, 1080 by 760. D8 at that time, so I think they still have some work to do on the graphics, but gameplay was what I remembered.
Cool.
Took me a while to retrain my brain because the gameplay is different than WoW and other games that came after it. But yeah, I I was amazed.
We'll have to...
It does seem like they've increased stuff. They do have a developer diary out on their website to talk about what they're going to do this year and what they did last year. I look forward to reading through that to see what's going on. Oh. They've got about 10,000, 12,000 people on the site.
I'll have to have a look and see what the requirements are, because I've got a Windows Surface laptop that it may or may not support. That doesn't have a gaming GPU, so that's generally the thing that stops it. But I can play things like Far Cry 3 on there, which just about works okay.
I cannot imagine that it would not work.
Okay, I'll give it a go
on a Surface 3. But speaking of interesting,
just before we skip off of that topic, how up to date are you on the Star Wars TV shows?
I did watch this week's Boba Fett.
Right? I mean, yes. Right?
Yes.
That was very good. That was very good. I was really impressed.
And I'm describing it with my hands so that we do not cause any spoilers.
I know, but I'm just really impressed with the realization of characters that have only been in the animated and obviously the novelizations.
Yep.
That was just really, really good. I thought that was really impressive. And again, the recreation of characters that, you know, it shouldn't look that way anymore.
Yes.
In real life.
Yes. So,
yeah, it was really good. I was really impressed.
We've got seconds left in the show today. I did want to talk about my other passion is iOS programming. I really enjoy programming in Swift and Swift UI. I talked about, you know, last June that I got my new iPad because I was expecting to be able to program on it. We talked about a few episodes back that you finally could. And this week, the team over at Audio Kit. I didn't say that. The team at Audio Kit Pro released their Drumpad app. You can download it for free on the App Store. But what's cool about it is their projects tend to allow you to download the source code over on GitHub, and they actually take you through writing that app yourself in Swift Playgrounds on the iPad, which is amazing.
That's really neat.
You know, they recommend go ahead and use it. You're free to use their code to create your own app. And I was thinking about what I could do to make it an app that understands the difference between an iPad and an iPhone.
Okay.
Because right now it doesn't.
Oh, right. Surely if you use Swift UI, it just does that, doesn't it? I thought Swift UI was magic and resized everything.
It should if you do it right.
Ah.
Ah, so highly recommend it. Go check it out. There's about a 50-minute video attached to the link in our show notes, actually walking you through the code on Swift Playgrounds on an iPad. Very, very cool.
And you don't even need to be musical, because all you're going to do is make drum noises. So if you've got kids, a partner who doesn't like drums, you know, you're sorted. You just give the iPad to the kids and get them to annoy their parent. It's going to be great.
Yes. Well, we appreciate everybody's links this week. Would appreciate it if you go over to our website at gamesatwork.biz and check out any of the show links. Provide us some feedback. Drop a comment on the blog post. We do leave the posts open for comments.
Absolutely.
Or rate us on your favorite podcatcher or
podcatcher,
whatever you want to call it. Yes. And anything from your side, Andy, you want to let the audience know?
Just remember to check us out on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz. Tweet us, as some of you do, with your links as you find them during the week. We'll check them out and see if they fit into the show next week. Yeah. All right.
That sounds good.
We're all done.
Take care, everybody.
See ya.
See ya. You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming, technology, and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.